and going home to glory with the soul to trust in saving grace. Going home to sing and tell his story in the blessed sunshine of his face. He lives with me, and though I dearly love him, he lives with me.
I know that my Redeemer lives. Number 479.
I know that my
Thank you.
beyond the sunset, forevermore.
Let's turn to number 260. Hand in hand with Jesus, number 260. Once from my poor sin sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus, hand in hand we walk each day.
Amen. Oh,
scripture reading will be the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Hebrews chapter 4, 11 through 13. This is speaking of entering God's rest. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fail by following their example of disobedience. Speaking of the people who died in the desert in the Old Testament. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Go ahead and get started tonight. There in Hebrews, we learn three different things in those verses there. The first one there in verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. It's going to take a little bit of work for us to enter that rest. We can't just sit around and be half-hearted and give God what's left over. It's going to take a little work. That's what we find in verse 11. In verse 12, we know that that's true because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's nothing you can get away from. The Word of God is going to find out what's in your heart on the last day. You're going to stand looking into the blazing eyes of Jesus, and you're going to give an account of your life, all the things that you did and all the things that you said. And in verse 13, we know that's true because it says, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And so tonight, what I want to do is take a few minutes to look over in Malachi. This will be where we are going to spend most of our time tonight, in Malachi. If you're having trouble finding Malachi, go to Matthew and turn a couple pages backwards. You'll find it right there. I want to point out a couple things before we get started, and we're going to start in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. But something we need to remember is that Malachi is not talking to the people who are not his people. He's talking to his own people here in Malachi. God is talking to his people. If he were to write the book of Malachi today, it would be to us as Christians. I want us to understand that, because that's very important to understand if we're going to get the message that we're talking about tonight. Here Malachi is relaying God's message. And in Malachi, we're going to find out, if you don't already know, that there's a series of questions and answers going back and forth. God is kind of being the judge, and he's representing what the people have said. And he'll say, this is what the people said. And then, of course, then he's going to give a response to that. We're going to look at a few verses, starting with verse 6. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, or something to be despised or not held holy. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. So here he's talking to his people, and he's reminding his people of a few things. Malachi says, if I'm a father, he's relating what God says. God says, if I am a father to you, then where's my respect? Why aren't you treating me like your father? If I'm your master, why are you not treating me like your master? You're treating me worse than other people. And he says, you offer defiled food on my altar. We may not know exactly what he's talking about there in verse 7, but when you get down into verse 8, he says, you offer the blind as a sacrifice. Now remember, under the Old Testament, they were supposed to offer the best that they had out of their flocks and herds to God. God demanded the best. He wanted the first fruits of everything that you had, because the things that you have are not yours. They're His. And He wants you to understand that. So when you have to give up that sacrifice, when I have to take my prize bull that I just had and give it and offer it to the Lord, it's a sacrifice to me, isn't it? It's something I have to give up. If I give the Lord a sick animal here that's about to die anyway, how big of a sacrifice is that for me? It's not a sacrifice at all. What if I come and take your prize bull and offer it to God? Is that a sacrifice for me? No, God is demanding the best. And he says, you're offering all these things that are unacceptable. And then he puts it in human terms and says, go offer it to your governor. Try offering something like that to the king. Oh, here you go, king. I'm bringing you this sick, lame animal that can't walk, stand, or do anything else, about to die, but I'm going to give him to you as a gift. What do you think the king would have said? The king would have taken that as an offense and probably locked him up in jail, if not killed him, right there on the spot. And that's what God's point is. I am a great king. I am a greater king than any that you serve. Verse 9, but now entreat God's favor. So here he's saying, you're going to ask God, you're going to ask me to treat you favorably. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? You're praying to me, you're asking for me to come in and intervene and do all these things in your lives, yet you're not living appropriately. You're offering me defiled offerings. You're not bringing me your best. You're being half-hearted in your worship. You don't listen when you come. You don't participate when you come. You're just sitting there. Am I pleased with that? And God says, no, he's not pleased with that. In fact, he is so unpleased with them. Look at verse 10. Very strong language here. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. It is so bad, just shut the doors to the temple and don't let anybody else in. That would be better than what you're bringing to me. The worship that you are bringing me is unacceptable. It's pretty severe stuff, isn't it? It's pretty strong language. Remember, this is talking to God's people. He's talking to people like you and I who claim to be God's people. Are we giving God our best? And he goes on and he talks about how things are going to be a little different as Christ comes and leaves the earth and setting up his church. And he comes down into chapter 2. And here he's talking to the priests. So he's talking to some of the leaders of God's people here in chapter 2. He's going to talk to people that might be Bible school teachers and preachers and elders and deacons and things like that in the church today. So he's talking not just to God's people, but to the people who really should be helping other people get to heaven, do the right thing. And he says, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear it, if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. And then you will know that I have sent this commandment, says the Lord of hosts. Now let me explain exactly what he's talking about there, because sometimes we just overlook that. We don't really understand what he's talking about. In the Old Testament, the people would bring that prize bull or the lamb or the little goat, whatever it is I'm bringing as an offering. And the priest would take that. The person would put their hands on the head and the priest would slit the throat. The priest would cut the throat of the animal there. They would die. He would bleed. They would take the animal and they would gut it. And they would take all the intestines and all that gooey stuff on the inside out. And then they would take that and put it outside the camp. That is what he's talking about spreading on your faces. Now, is God being very nice to these people? Remember, these are supposed to be the leaders of his people. And he said, I'm going to spread the refuse of your solemn feast on your face. There in verse 3. Is God pleased with their worship? No, God's not pleased with it. And if you read the whole book of Malachi, you find out that the people were being very half-hearted in their devotion to God. They were going through the paces. They might worship God on Saturday back then. Might be on Sunday today. But Monday through Saturday, look out, boy. I'll do what I want to do. And if I have to cheat you to get ahead, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm a shrewd businessman. That's not really what God's asked us for, is it? And so from this lesson tonight, I want you to learn a couple things. Half-hearted worship is not pleasing to God. It wasn't pleasing to God back when Malachi wrote this book, and it's not pleasing to God today. We need to remember that when we come to church, we're not just sitting here doing something that we enjoy, although we should enjoy it. We are praising and worshiping the name of the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. In fact, he says that he is a great king in verse 14. I am a great king. I'm not just some governor. I am a great king who you need to worship. He demands our all. Where in the New Testament can you find me where God only wants part of your heart? Where does he only want part of my heart? He only wants part of what you have. Well, in fact, he wants all of what I have because all I am is through him. I don't have anything. God has given me the things that I have as a blessing, and when I'm gone, he's going to give them to someone else. So half-hearted worship is not enough. And maybe even more important, half-hearted Christianity is not important. It's not pleasing to God. It doesn't do you any good. Half-hearted Christianity will not do you any good. And I know that seems kind of harsh, but it's not harsh because I think it's harsh. Remember what we read in Hebrews. This is what God is saying. This is the Word of God. We can read it from this and understand what we need to learn today. Half-hearted worship, half-hearted service to God is unacceptable. If we're only going to be a Christian on Sunday, then God is really not pleasing with our service. He's not pleased with our service. And what does he want to do? Well, he said, first of all, I want somebody to shut the door so nobody else can come in and offer offerings. And to the leaders, he said, I'm going to spread the refuse of your solemn feasts on your face. Is that what you want God to say when you meet him on the last day? When you're standing before the blazing eyes of Jesus, do you want to look at him and say, well, you know I only worshiped you on Sunday, but, you know, I was really faithful on Sunday. Do you want to see if that's going to work? I think if we look at the book of Malachi, we find out that's not going to work. We need to determine tonight to completely give ourselves to the service of the Lord. And I hope that everyone here is already done that, already been committed to that. But there may be some who have not been walking perfectly in God's sight. Remember, he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to strive to be perfect, and the blood of his Son will help cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to turn and close with one of the most comforting passages in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Now, we've spoken some pretty harsh words tonight, and we've seen how God is not happy with half-hearted people. He's not happy with half-hearted Christianity. He's not happy with half-hearted service. But that doesn't mean he's an unjust master. He's only demanding something to the level that he's given us. What has he done to deserve that? Well, number one, he's the Creator. Number two, we all deserve to die. We shouldn't even be here today. We should already be dead because of the sins that we've committed. But Jesus paid the price. He came down and let his body be the perfect sacrifice on the cross. His blood washes away our sins and redeemed us. He paid the price that you should have paid for you because he loved you. And he wants you to live with him forever. So the service that we have, as we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is really just reasonable service, isn't it? But when we get to the end of the life, to get to the end of our life, and we've followed God and we've been wholehearted, we've done everything that we can the way Paul did. When I think about somebody who was a dedicated Christian, I think of Paul. I think of what Paul went through and how he went about in good times and in bad times, and he was faithful and strong as a Christian. But in the end, Jesus doesn't want any of us to perish. And that's why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Following God is not a weary burden that we have to bear. Following God should be a pleasure considering what he's done for us. As we close tonight, I want you to consider your own life. Have you been offered half-hearted service to God? If you have, then I hope that you'll come and make your heart right with God before we leave tonight with the psalm that's been selected.